live in these things, don't we? Can you go anywhere without these things? Anybody ever think about going anywhere without them? What do you do when you forget it at home? Yeah. You get a little nervous, a little worried. You know, how do we, you know, I think, what was it like? You, anybody remember the, anybody ever carry a pager in there? Anybody remember the little things you put on your belt book and carry a pager? Yeah. Anybody have those answer machines at home that, you know, you just have to go home and it's beeping, you know, and you just, oh, God.
Yeah.
Start pushing the button, yeah. But we live in this digital world today. I mean, it's where it's at. We can't, if I forget my phone, I'm lost. What's interesting about the phone, though, is there's a lot more to this than making phone calls. I'd be willing to gamble that I'm not a bettor, but I'd be willing to bet that most of you use your phone much more for something other than making phone calls. Texts dominate voice. Then there's Facebook, and you know, we just keep going on, and blogs and all this stuff. I got some interesting pictures people text me and sent to me during the week. And last week when I was preaching, some of you guys sent me, this is a funny one, of Stephen. 2 minutes ago, Megan posted something. I'm on Facebook. You know, we live in this digital world. We pull these phones out. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's okay to pull them out in church if you have the Bible on it. And it's free. You can get the Bible app, YouVersion. It's free. You can get your Bible app out. And I've got 2 Bible apps on my phone that I use and that I have with me, because I've been in places I didn't take a Bible with me. And I was at a motorcycle bike blessing, and I was there. And the week before, somebody had an accident, had passed away. And they asked if I would say something. So I just pulled my phone out, turned a couple of pages, read some scripture, and shared for a few moments. You know? So there's some really good things about having our phone. You know? We can contact around the world. Yeah, we got friends all over the place. You know? I have my sons in Alaska. You know, FaceTiming the kids and enjoying that, the grandkids. And there's so many benefits, and there's so much we can enjoy with it, but there's also some challenges. But when you buy a phone and you get on the internet, you become a citizen of the digital world. You're in this digital world now. But what I want to talk about, what we've been looking at in this series of messages, only 2 sermons, and this is the last one in it, is, you know, as a Christian, I'm a citizen of heaven. And that citizenship implies something. I'm an American citizen. Doesn't that mean something? If I go somewhere, I'm an American citizen. Laura and I are getting ready to go see my granddaughter. She's going to promote out of the 8th grade up in Washington. And my daughter wants to take us to Canada. And it's like, well, I don't have a, what do they call that thing? Passport. I don't have a passport. And so they sent me a message. I got to get all sorts of, because I'm a citizen of America. I got to go across the border. And I'm going to tell you, I want to get back. If I go, I want to come back. You know, and so I got to have, well, as a Christian, I'm a citizen of heaven. Look at what it says here. Let me give you a little outline out. Here's a scripture right here. We, however, are citizens of heaven. We look forward to the Lord Jesus coming from heaven as our Savior. We are citizens of heaven. What that implies is there's a standard, there's a set of values that I have. And my question to you is, should that influence how I use my phone? Because I live by a different set of values, I live by a different set of standards. When I look on Facebook and I was watching Helen DeGeneres, I got a great education. I shared a little bit with you last week. I learned a lot of those little abbreviations mean. WT, I'm not going to tell you the last letter. I had no idea what that was. I had to look it up. It's like, I could not believe, and I'm going to tell you, I looked at Ellen DeGeneres and just funny things on the people post, and I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was reading. You know, you got to be kidding. You would say that? I wouldn't even say it, much less type it. You know, how do we live in this world, and how do we do it? And like I said, some of you sent me some funny stuff last week. You know, I'm sitting up here preaching, and you got me with my mouth open. Yeah, and here's a picture of you, Gary. Yeah. Now, here's my question. You have a Facebook page, Periscope, Twitter, blog, jobs, there's all LinkedIn, there's all sorts of... My question is, if somebody looks back over your digital history, what are they going to see? Wait, I got to take a minute. Laura, she's in the back. She's going to bring me something. I wonder if she remembered. I forgot to get it, so it's not her fault. She's ignoring me. But yeah, I don't know if she brought them or not. I have the, here it is. I have the best wife. Okay, that's what I'm supposed to say. Is she coming? Does she have those discs for me? Okay, she's got some. I want to show you something because I want you to know something. You sent me something. Maybe you deleted it, but you know what? I didn't. Somebody sent me a pile of poop. All right? Now that's funny, okay? You got to, you know, they're being funny. I'm having a great time with that kind. But I want to ask you something. Would you want to be remembered by the stuff you posted on Facebook? Be remembered by the things that you have texted? I'm sorry, I meant to ask for these earlier. You just left. Yeah. I want to see my beautiful wife. That's what I wanted. Some of you know, some of you probably don't know what these are. I got three of these here. Anybody here have a computer? Anybody? I see a few hands going up. Inside your computer is a thing called a hard disk that stores your information. Inside that hard disk are these little plates. Bunch of them. And on these plates is information. Now you delete it. Let me tell you something. It's not gone. This little plate came out of one of my computers too. When I get rid of my computer, I take the hard disk out. Give you a little hint. You take the hard disk, okay? Because on this disk, if I click this disk, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. But if I click this disk and I click all these disks, I can put these in a hard disk and begin to get the information off this. Even though it's gone, even though the computer's gone, these disks right here, there's three of them, have things I've typed, things I've texted, emails I've sent, information on them. It's not gone. It's there. See, what I want us to know, and I want us to think about this morning, is you are leaving a legacy. Down the road, I told you already, Twitter, right? Did I get it right? The National Library is keeping all the tweets as a historical document. Every tweet that's been tweeted or that ever will be tweeted is going to be at the National Library. And we need to think that you're living a history, you're having a legacy. So I want to talk about that for a minute. I want you to think about that. When somebody goes back over and looks up, what are they going to say? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Look at what it says here in Proverbs 10:7. The memory of a righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Will your history be a blessing? Those texts, those tweets, those emails, that Facebook, will it be a blessing? You know, are you being a blessing to others? I look back over my life and I look at the legacy of my grandmothers. I shared with you when I was 13, 14, 15, living with my grandmother during the summer, getting in that car, she's praying every time. When I was 13, 14, 15, I thought my grandma was crazy. Just so you know, she did have a nervous breakdown years and years ago, so she probably was a little crazy. But I wanted, you know, what are you praying in the car for? You get in the car to drive. But you know what? We're older now, and I'm sure glad my grandma taught me something about prayer. Yeah. I remember sitting at my grandmother's house. I told her the story on Christmas, and she was sitting there in a recliner, my cousins and all of us around the recliner, and she's saying, "Who's Jesus' father?" Cousins, they knew the answers. I had no idea. You know, Joseph, well, who's his mother? Well, I don't know. Come on, Linda, tell him who his mother is. Yeah, but now I look back over and have one of them as my grandmother. Going to see her when I was off to college, and she said, "I'm praying for you and Laura as you guys are in school." I'm show you how it turned around. She's in a convalescent home, the Methodist convalescent home up there in South Sacramento. I'd go by and see her, and I'm telling Grandma, Grandma, I'm praying for her. It was my turn. So what kind of legacy are we leaving? So I know that this way. I have a digital footprint. You have a digital footprint. If you go out there and Google, you get on Facebook, I can find all sorts of stuff out there. And if you think it's a secret, ha, ha, on you. Because it's not. And we need to understand that we have an image out there. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want people talking about? How do you want people to see you? Look at what it says. Surely the righteous will never be shaken, but will be remembered forever. Let me ask you, you go to apply for a job. And on that application, do you give me permission to search your Facebook page? To access your Facebook page. You know, that's a question they're going to ask on your job application. I don't know if they're doing it now, but I know there's some arguments about it. Yeah. Can you say yes? Can you say no? You know, are you going to shake? Oh, I don't know. What did I post last night? You know, I was wasted, dude, up and stand. Oh, that's worker I want, yeah. Yeah. Do you know, are we thinking about what we're saying and how the image we have out there? I like this verse. Indeed, the light of the wicked is put out, and the flame of the fire does not shine. His memory perishes from the earth, and he has no name in the street. Yeah, what kind of image? Yeah. We used to be able to kind of live in a little corner of our world. But I want to tell you, there's no more corner in the world. There's no little place you can go hide. In this digital world. Yeah. And I think we need to see this. Look at what it says here. One generation will praise your deeds to the next. Each generation will talk about your mighty acts. Yeah. What kind of digital footprint do you have? What kind of legacy are you leaving? See, I'm a citizen of heaven. When my grandkids get on, what do I want them to see? What do I want my kids to see? What image? You know, I look at the internet, and just so you know, I see the devastation in people's lives. Somebody posted this, and somebody said this, and how do we live in this digital world? How do we wrestle world? See, I've crossed this invisible line. You hear me say this. You know, there was a point in my life when I was 17 years old, I told God, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. And I crossed that invisible line. And I asked God to give me direction in life and give me purpose in life and give me meaning in life and to give me a principles and some values. And I accepted those values. Should that affect my Facebook page? Should that affect my tweets, my Periscope, my Snapchat? How do I, in this world today, progress? What is somebody going to say down the road? I've been enjoying dual genealogy. I've traced my family all the way out of America. My family goes all the way out of America. And I traced it. I can tell you where they lived. And I got newspaper clippings of things they've done. You know, it's going to be out there. Your grandkids, your great-grandkids are going to be able to look you up on the internet. And what are they going to see? Yeah. So I want to challenge us and I want to encourage us to let our citizenship of heaven give us a legacy that we can be proud of. That when others look at us, they'll know there's something different. Because I race books, and yeah, I scan down this. I do. I'll just kind of, okay, what's somebody post on their Facebook? And, you know, some are friends, and it's like, yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to say it as I go through the message. Some of you post things I want to say I agree with, but I don't want anybody else to know I agree with it, okay? Yeah, I'm not going to say, you know, I'll say I like your fun faces and all of that, but sometimes you'll say some things that, well, I'll be honest, shouldn't be said. Now, I agree with it, but you know what? It doesn't need to be said. Let's look at it. I got about seven questions here that I want you to think about, okay? Real quick, I'm going to go through these real quick. I got seven things I want you to think about as you pay, as you post on your Facebook, as you tweet your accounts, as you send your email. As you do these, I want you to think about these. Here's questions to ask as you go through that. Here's what I begin with this. It says, treat others the same way you want to be treated. Treat others the same way you want to be treated. Anybody know the golden rule? Do unto others before they do it to you. That's not right? Well, I think that's the golden rule for Facebook. Anybody? I think that's Facebook's golden rule. Yeah. No, it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so how do we do that? So here's some questions real quick, and I want you to look at this. Look at again what it says. I want to make sure you get a picture here. What comes out of your mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. You ever get in trouble with your mouth? Anybody? Your mouth ever gets you in trouble? You ever say anything that you, and here's what I was saying. As I was writing the message, I was thinking, you know what? We have a hard enough time controlling our mouth. Now I got to deal with my thumbs. And I can't even control my mouth. Now with our thumbs, we're all over the place. But I want to make sure you get that verse. I want you to circle that word heart. Because here's what I want you to know. What you're posting and what you're texting is saying something about you. All right? Is that really what you want to say about you? Is that how you want people to see you and think of you and visualize you? By those comments, by that post, by that picture. Is that what you want? Because really what it is, it's who you are. Because when I read, and you know, people spewing all sorts of things, that tells me something about, doesn't it? So here's some questions, real quick. Let me get through these. Does my speech build up or tear down? Am I building people up or am I tearing people? Am I taking shots at somebody? Am I getting even with somebody? They did it first. They started it. I'm going to finish it. Yeah. We need to step back. Is my speech building up or tearing down? God is real specific here. Look at what it says. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing, my brothers. This thing ought not to be so. Whoa. You know? Think about, are we having words that build others up? If somebody looks at your Facebook, somebody looks at your tweets, somebody looks at your Periscope, your picture, are they getting a positive picture? Are they being encouraged? Are they being lifted up? Are they being inspired to be better? Yeah. What are we projecting out there? Ask yourself, as you're typing that, is this going to build somebody up or is this going to tear somebody down? Look at God's word. Therefore, encourage one, build one another up. Just as you are doing. I almost took that last part out because I don't think we're doing a very well job at that. Okay? I'm sorry, but I almost just put some dots in there because sometimes some of the texts I see, some of the tweets, some of the Facebook I see, I don't, you know, just as you're doing, I might add to it. Just as you're doing some of the time. There. Okay, how's that? But the Bible says I can't add to it, so I can't do that. You know? We need to think about what we say. Those, that image, that Facebook, that whatever it is, we need to think about what we're putting out there for others to see. Now, upsetting others, you know, tweaking somebody's cage. I have a, you guys, some of you have been with me for a long, you know I'm kind of sarcastic, right? Some of you know. I really screwed up yesterday twice, not just once. Anybody get an email from me? Anybody get an email about changing the clocks? I'm glad you didn't listen to me. I typed on that email, and I know, spring forward, fall back. First email I sent out, turn your clocks back. So I'm going to fix it. I send out another one. Spring forward, fall back. I know, that's how I remember it. It's spring forward, fall back. I'll see you tomorrow. Turn the clocks back. Run it again.
It's like, what in the world? I didn't even know I did it. Jacob's sitting there. We're at the funeral. And so Jacob said, do you see what you did? I said, no. Ah, believe it.
Yeah.
Do we encourage one another? Do we inspire one another? We can have fun. It's exciting. You need to know, I screw up all the time. But I'm going to enjoy life, and I'm not going to post it out there.
Yeah.
But I like sarcasm. Let me tell you something. My personality that I have to fight, that God has to work on me, is, I like debates, just so you know, arguing. You can ask Laura.
Yeah.
I like arguing. And the best way to win it, I'm going to tell you, here's the best way to win an argument. You get them angry. Because when they're angry, they lose it, and you win. Because it didn't matter about who won the argument, I got you angry. All right. Do you want to do that on Facebook? Come on now. Push somebody's button, tweak somebody's cage, aggravate, agitate. You see a conversation, bless me, I'm reading somebody's conversation. I have to just encourage this a little bit more.
Yeah.
Do we want to do that?
Are you building up or are you tearing down?
Ask that question. Before you push send, before you post that picture, before you send that tweet, ask yourself, is this going to build up or tear down? How about the second question? Do I use social media as a platform to complain? All right. You ever eat all the I went to the restaurant and the waitress was my food was cold. Do you ever watch people just complain and whine and just all this stuff on there? Look at what it says. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as a light in the world. Yeah. Are we using the internet? Am I using just to complain and to whine and to just to let people know how I feel? And you know, there's some people out there, I'm going to call them keyboard warriors. They're just out there trashing everything. Anybody got a friend like that?
Yeah.
There's nothing right in their world. Their world is jacked up. And I wouldn't want to be in their world. Get me off your Facebook.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, is that just to whine and complain and just to look around and find everything wrong? Did you see what so-and-so did? Did you notice? Here's the scripture. Can you believe this? We need to think about, am I just going to complain? Am I just kind of complaining and whining and just posting these things out here for others to see, you know, and just looking for something to attack and just piling on things like that and just seeing, you know, school, this teacher, my stinking kid. Anybody got a stinking kid?
Yeah.
My spouse, I can't believe.
Yeah.
Do we just... Before you push sin, before you say okay, are you complaining? How about this next one? Do I use social media for profitable arguments? Like I say, this is my personality. I love arguing. I've been told by others that I should have been a lawyer. Because I do. I love that arguing and debating and listen, you need to know something. Even when I know I'm wrong, I do not give up, okay? You could be right. It don't matter. You can ask Laura. She's right a lot. But I ain't giving up. I went up. Because unprofitable arguments. You know, it's just, you know, I'm going to throw something out there. You know, hey, gun rights. Now, I have an opinion about that.
Yeah?
What did I go on the internet about it? You know what? You're not going to change my mind, okay? Post anything you want, and you're not going to change my mind.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, once somebody posts it, more than likely you can argue till you die, and they're not going to change. So why do it? Anybody on board with that one? Because they're not going to change. You know? We need to get this out of Salida. We got arguments. I got the newspaper calling me years ago. Some of you were here. There were Olanders down Old Salida Boulevard. You
years ago. And the newspaper calls and says, we hear there's some problems because of the highway, because they're going to pull the oleanders out of the old highway. I was on the MAC council, and it's like, who's trying to create a problem? The highway patrol said people are living in them, and it's dangerous, and they got to go. What's the problem?
Plus, I ended up yelling at the editor, because I said, we just had a big party here in Salida. You guys didn't even show up. Here's my opinion about the Modesto Bee. I shouldn't say that up here.
Unprofitable arguments. Look, here, I like this scripture because I fit into this. I fit into that. Just so you know, sometimes I'm in the front part of this. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Anybody know somebody like that? And don't point at me, okay? You know? We need to kind of, you know, hey, is it really worth getting into this? Are they going to change? Is it going to make a difference? Why send it? Why text it? Because I want somebody to know. I want somebody to know my opinion. I want somebody to see. You know, somebody has to say it. How about this next one? Do I use social media to feel good about myself? A series of messages now. Last night, you didn't know. There's nothing going on, and so I'm laying around on the couch or somewhere in the house, and I get my little tablet out, and I start working on sermons. Give me some ideas. Oh, healing for damaged emotions. I don't know about you, but man, I'm all jacked up. You know, how do we deal with all these emotions? Guilt and insecurity and depression, and how do I deal with all this? So I started doing some things on that, you know. But esteem issue, feeling good. Let me ask you this. You ever text somebody? And they don't answer right away, and you're starting to go, are they mad at me? Did I do something wrong? You ever post that picture, and nobody says they like it, and you're going, oh man, nobody likes me. How many friends do you got? Well, I've got 450. I probably only got like 30. I don't know. Yeah. But do people measure their lives by that sometimes? Makes me feel good. Oh, so-and-so liked my picture. All right. Woo-hoo! Am I just wanting somebody to like me? You know, I need somebody to retweet this. How many retweets did I get? Makes me feel good. Yeah. You post those funny pictures on there. That's Snapchat. Man, you do some really funny pictures. I got funny ones of me. Looking like a wizard and all sorts of stuff. You know? They swap faces on there, you know. Does it make me feel good? Yeah, I would feel good with a better face. Yeah, that would do, yeah. You know, does it make me feel good? For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Everybody likes me. Look at that, everybody. I got 400 likes. I like people posting it. I already got a million likes on it. I'm not going to like it. It's already got a million likes. Big deal. What's mine going to do? Million and one. Oh, whoopee. Yeah? As we just do that for an image. How about this next one? My trap, okay? Do I use social media when I'm angry? Do I use social media when I'm angry? I'm going to ask you. Have you ever done that? You like that R in there? Thank you. Have you ever done anything wise when you're angry? Anybody? Think about it. You know, I made a real good decision when I was mad yesterday. Is that very likely to happen? Mostly when we're angry, it ain't going to be good. You know, it's not going to go well. When we're angry, like I said, when I get in an argument with somebody, it's fun. I remember years ago, we had a Christmas Eve party, and we're playing win, lose, and draw, guys against girls, and there was one of the young ladies here, didn't really go to church here, but she was here visiting with us, having a good time with us, and I'm an agitator, okay, and so she started getting on the edge, and I just kept harping on it. I just kept, you know, riding and riding. She was getting upset, and I was having fun, yeah. We have Ann Lowe. She, just so you know, Ann Lowe comes to church here. And she's a little more on the side. And she goes to Bible study here. And so I'm pouring coffee for the ladies and all this. And I give her a bad time about women's lib all the time. Just ask those ladies there in the morning. Yeah, I'll just put a dig in every once in a while. You know? Do we do things like that when we get angry? You know, just kind of want to poke the bear? Anybody want to poke a bear, you know? And, you know, do we ever do things like that? Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. He is hasty temper, alts folly. Anger, man, it can get you in trouble. It can make things just, you know, so, you know, if you're angry, I'm going to tell you, don't Facebook right then. Don't text message right there. Don't email right then. You know, slow down. Isn't that what it said? Slow. Oh, yeah, slow down. You know, we need to ask that question as we go through and as we think about what we're doing and how we text and what we say. Let's see, what else is next here? Oh, do I only talk about myself? You know, the funniest thing to me, as I was writing this, here's my image. Now, anybody ever, now this is going to be good. Anybody ever remember slides? Anybody remember those slides? Come on. Come on. You know, you take slides, you put them in a projector, and they go on the screen. Come on. Come on, some of you guys. You're not that young. I know your age, okay? You know? And they're going through these slides. You know, come over. I want to show you slides of my vacation. I can't wait to go there. Right? Come on now. And now they're Facebooking all that stuff. Do I really want to see that? Did I really want to know where, you know? You know, it's all about me. Selfies. That is, I don't know about you, but that's one of the most selfish things there is in my book. Look at me! Yeah. Now, I'll do that with my wife and send it to me, and we don't have a camera and stuff like that. I don't want to post that stuff. Yeah. No, it's fun. Hey, I got a picture of me with President Carter. I do have a picture of me with President Carter. Yeah? He don't have any idea who I was. But I got his picture, and I'm standing next to him. Yeah? We live in this selfish, come on. You know, we call my generation the me generation. Anybody? Now we're not a me generation, we're a selfie generation. Did anybody buy this, or is just Gary being weird? I know I'm weird, but, you know. But we make it all, I mean, think about it. Everything's, it's all about me, and where I'm at, and what I'm doing, and my little world. You know. I'm going to encourage you, get some bigger pictures out there. Show some good things. You know what I was excited about? You know one of the things I had fun with? Thursday night, Awana. We lined all the kids up. And we had a picture of the kids. And then we posted it. I don't know who posted it. Several of you guys posted it. That's exciting to me. That's more than, hey, here's Gary at Awana. Tunk. Hey, look at Gary. We had all those kids. See, I want to encourage us. Don't make it all about you and your little world. You know, there's a bigger world. Let each of us look not only to his own interests, but also the interest of others. Also the interest of others. See, sometimes we need to get beyond ourselves and see a build out there. Because here's my last point, and I'm going to drive this home. Do people see the light of Christ in me based on what I post? Do people see the light of Christ in me? When they see that picture of me, what do they see? When they get that text from me, when they get that email from me, when they get that Facebook update, when they see that Snapchat, they get that tweet, what do people see? See, I want to challenge us. See, I'm a citizen of heaven. I belong to the kingdom of God. I have a different set of values and standards. What does the world see? And here's a bigger thing to think about. Not only what do they see today, what will they see tomorrow? next tomorrow, in 10 years, in 20 years, because I want to tell you, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Like I say, Snapchat says, you know what? Once it's viewed, it goes away. But if they take a shot of that while it's on their phone, it hasn't went anywhere, they've got it. We need to think about the image that we have as Christians in the digital world. They're watching us. Look at what it says. Same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. See, we have this unique opportunity to let our light shine. We can be different than the world. We can look different. Life is hard and life hurts and it's a struggle and it's a battle to go through this world. I don't know about you, but I had a week and a half. Anybody? In 7 days, I had like 10. Anybody? Come on. It was just one thing. I'm on my way to the hospital to go see two people in our house. One had a stroke that morning. Halfway to the hospital, somebody else is on the way to the hospital from the church. You know, it's like, oh no. It's like next. And it's just been one thing after another for the last, I'm going to tell you about the last 8, 9, 10 months, guys. You know, but let me tell you what. There's one thing I love to see on my Facebook page. One thing I love to see come across my text messages. It's this. I'm praying for you. Anybody? Isn't it nice? That somebody just, I'm praying for you. I'm praying. Yeah. When they know something's going on, a decision you got to make, a hard time in life, a question, whatever, I'm praying for you. See, I think there's some great potential. There's some great opportunities with the media we have today in the social media world. But we have to let our light shine. I'm going to ask, what light are you shining? If someone looks at your Facebook, what do they see? Now, you know, I think about this. I walk into my house. One of the young men came to my house. We went over there. I forgot something at home. I took one of the young men to my house to pick up something. And his lesson was, you guys like Disneyland, don't you? Because just to tell you the truth, I don't know if there's not a picture of Jesus anywhere in my house, I don't think. But there's pictures of me and my grandkids and all of us all over Disneyland and Disney World. Yeah. So it's like, do I need to put a picture of Jesus up somewhere at least so I have one? Yeah. What's my light saying? See, now here's what you got to understand. Disneyland says it's the happiest place on earth. And I enjoy it. But come and tell you what, I think it's the second happiest place for me. Because the first one is right here every Sunday. And it don't cost me a thing. You know? What do people see? You're leaving a legacy. You're making a statement. Have you crossed that line? Have you told God, I'm just tired of doing what I'm doing yours? I want to be different. I want a different life. I don't like where my life is. I don't like where it's gone. I want a different tomorrow, God. I want to cross that line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. If you cross that line, will you make it visible in your digital media? Will you let others see Jesus through your texts, your blogs, your Facebook? Will they know you're a child? Look at what it says here. Proverbs 10:7. The name of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. I have wonderful memories of my grandparents. My grandfather Cunningham, Amos, Velma, my grandma Diffentorum, Odie. I got wonderful memories. A joy. When I was younger, it wasn't that way. Before I became a Christian, it wasn't that way. Yeah? They were nerds and weird. But now, cherish those memories. I cherish the time I went back to Oklahoma and seen my aunt. She's passed away since then. My mom's sister. We talked about God, and I talked to her daughter. It was really fun because I wanted to talk to them about what's it like growing up in a state where church is really an important part. It's a social thing in the South. Before I even asked that question, she goes, what's it like growing up in California when people don't go to church? It was really funny that she was saying the same thing I was, just in the other way. Wonderful time. I had wonderful aunt. My uncle who taught me, that brought me to church. I'm going to ask you, what legacy do you want to leave when when someone sees you, when someone finds your Facebook, when someone gets a picture, a text, an email, can they say, I want to read that one? And you read my text message, you better pay our emails, you better make sure I spelled everything right and I got the right times, because hey, sometimes I mess that up. But I want to have a good email. I want to be a light in this world. I want others to see Jesus in me, even in my social media text and emails and Facebook. I want to be a light to this world. What about you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a God who loves us and cares for us, and that you watch us and you guide us and you direct us. I thank you that above all, we can walk in your love because you love us. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, you love us. Maybe it's private, maybe it's public, maybe we've just kind of hid ourselves away. Or maybe we put some things on the Facebook. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some things that you just need your forgiveness. Maybe some post, maybe a text, I don't know. Maybe there's just something, you just want, God, I want you to forgive me. You just shoot your hand up and say, you know, I want God. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you know we live in this digital world, and it's a rough world to live in. So, Lord, I just come with these, bringing my messages that I send, whether it's on Facebook or a tweet or Periscope or wherever it is, or in the social media world, Lord, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and wash me as white as snow, as your scripture says. I ask you to remove those sins as far as the east is from the west, as your scripture says. I ask you to cast into the sea of forgetfulness, as your word says. Lord, that we can come clean and renewed and be a light in this world. I pray for these who've lifted their hands and come to you, and I ask you to affirm in their heart and share, Lord, and in some way reveal yourself the forgiveness that you've given them, because they've asked and they brought it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We always have an